here this morning again, and we're going to be continuing on our series on the Christian mindset of influence, and we're going to pick up where we left off last week again. I'll say that here momentarily once again, but we're going to be in John chapter 16. We're looking this morning at the answer to our faith. We're looking at faith being an influence unto us, and us being an influence by faith unto others. Guys, again, I stress this point. I probably make this point more often than any other point in this series on the Christian mindset. But we need to understand, guys, that we need to be an influence. If we're not being an influence to those that are around us, guys, we're falling short. And we're going to be held accountable for that. God has put you in the path and in people's lives for a particular reason, and it hasn't been just to be their buddy, amen. Now, we should have friends, we should have pals, we should have people that we should run around with and enjoy ourselves. I'm not saying we should not, but I am telling you this, if we don't use what God has given to us freely, amen, freely you receive, freely you give. We don't use that for an influence for Christ into some people's lives. We are falling short in the eyes of God, and we will be held accountable for that. And so John chapter 16, I'd like us to look at two verses here this morning, then we'll pray, and we'll move ahead in our message today. And if you're there in John 16 this morning, if you're willing and able to this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. John chapter 16, look with me if you will, in verse 7. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Father in heaven, again, we thank you, Lord, for the blessed day and opportunity you've given us to be here. We pray that you'd bless this message. Lord, we pray that you take control of the service, that you tender our hearts and open up our ears. Dear God, give us a mind of understanding today. And we'll give you all the glory and honor, and we'll give you the praise, dear Father, not because of what you're going to do, but because you were well deserving of it all. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. Please be seated if you will. As mentioned, guys, we're going to pick up where we left off last week as we begin to continue to address this issue of influence in the life that God has given us. And I just want to make sure that our influence, guys, we want to make sure that our influence is one of power. We talked about that last week. That was point number one, and we only made it to point number one last week. And that power is not found in ourselves, but rather it's found in the Holy Spirit of God. It is dependent upon our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that today is the answer to mine and your faith in this life. Guys, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We know that to be true, Hebrews 11:6. And we can say that people can say all these different things. They can say all these different things happen to them. The bottom line, if we have not faith in that which we're doing in this life, if we are not exercising our influence of faith in this world today, we're simply not pleasing God. The Bible says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." So guys, you know what we need in this life? We need the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to be connected to that power. I'll give you an illustration of the missionary Herbert Jackson, who spent all those years on the field with that car that he always strategically parked it somewhere so he could push the thing to get it started. And you know, here he was outside of these schools, and he'd gather a lot of these children around, and they would push start this car, and he'd pop the clutch and it would crank, all because he couldn't start it with the key. And he did this for years on end. And when he had to come off the field because of sickness, a young missionary was coming to fill his spot. And so he began to show him and tell him his marvelous plan and his strategy of getting this missionary car started every single time. And the young buck missionary just began to look up underneath the bonnet there, and he fiddled around with the car just a little bit, and he found some wires were not connected, and he connected those cars and went around to the ignition and turned the key, and she started right up. And he just said, "Dr. Jackson, the only problem was he wasn't connected to the power source to get the car started." And guys, that is the same thing in our Christian life today. So many people today are trying to muscle Christianity. They're trying to muscle through influence in others. They're trying to muscle to allow someone to influence them. And they're not performing it by faith because they're not connected to the power source that if you're here today and you're saved and you're born again, the power source is within you. And you have to have that relationship with that Holy Spirit of God, because that's where the power comes from, my friend. So we are the same way. But what I want you to see this morning, we're going to look here, is that power source, once we understand that the Holy Spirit of God is our power source, what we need to understand, number two, just like the power is needed, but we need His presence in our life. It's one thing to have a power source in your life. It's one thing for us to have all the wires and the breaker boxes and the junction boxes hooked up over here. If it's not connected to the power source outside, all the switches, all the flips, all the breakers, all the lights, all the plugs, they will do us absolutely no good. Amen? The power source is there now. It's out there. You just have to be connected to the power source to make a difference. There has to be a presence of that power in your life. Keep reading with me, if you will, verses 8 through 11 this morning. The Bible says, "And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not of Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." My friend, the Holy Spirit of God is within us to reprove or to correct us in this life. And we must be engaged. We must be tapped into that source in order to serve the Lord in the manner that we should. We need to be engaged. We need to be tapped into that power source so that God will correct us and reprove us and fine-tune us and get us where we need to be for Him to influence us and for us to influence others. Ephesians 5:18 tells us, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, be filled with the Spirit." Now, this is not a verse that supports social drinking, but rather this verse is teaching us to allow the Holy Spirit of God to take control of our life. My friend, when a person is drunk with wine or with liquor or any kind of alcoholic, let's just call it what it is, poison. And so when they're drunk with this thing, they are under the influence of that alcohol. That alcohol is dictating their moves. That alcohol shuts down their inhibitions, which is found in the frontal lobe of their brain. It's the first thing that's attacked. It shuts down many other things in the body just from one simple little drink. My dad always told me that a drunk man's words is a sober man's thoughts. I want you to think about that for just a little while. But brother, we receive the Holy Spirit of God at salvation. But to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God is to be under His influence and direction of our life. Look in verse 13 in our text today. Look in the latter part. We'll start right in the middle. It says, "For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak." You see, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you in all truth. So the Holy Spirit of God is not speaking of Himself. He's speaking of that which He hears. What is He hearing? He's hearing the words of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ went and ascended on high. When He ascended on high, 10 days later, He sent the Holy Spirit of God. He sent the Comforter down. And the Comforter is only repeating exactly what Jesus Christ has spoken unto Him. And therefore, He is speaking unto us through the words of Christ in our life to work in us and through us, do you understand? So at salvation, the day that you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you received every drop of the Holy Spirit of God that you're ever going to receive, that you're ever going to need. To be filled with the Holy Spirit of God is to render more of your life into His hand, to be under His influence. So you need to ask yourself this question here this morning. Are we operating under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God fully? Or are we operating under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God just partially? Does the Holy Spirit of God, who is in you and with you today if you're saved, does He have free course in our life? I mean, are we guys, here's the deal. We are empowered at reception, but we must be engaged through our resignation of control. There's an old story that I've told many times in teaching this thought, but we spoke about it here, I don't know, several months ago. But shortly married, there was a little lady who became a widow. She was married just for a short time, and her and her husband had a baby, and then she became a widow quite quickly, and she had a pension as a teacher's widow, which was very small. But her heart's desire was to provide a top quality education for her son. In her mind, no sacrifice was too great. She worked early, she worked late, she ensured that her son had the best studies available. He would complete his schooling and he'd become a famous physician. Now, he had a busy schedule being a famous physician, and he seldom saw his mother. And after some time, he would marry this girl from a very wealthy family. This great physician had a real narrow soul, guys. I mean, he was ashamed to confess to his bride that he came from humble origins. So fearing that she would be ashamed of him, he hid his history and he kept clothed his upbringing and his raising. He hadn't forgot his mother altogether. I mean, he hadn't forgot her great sacrifice. He hadn't forgot her great love. And he greatly desired to see her. So one time he decided to speak to his wife and say, "Listen, you understand that my upbringing, my upbringing, I had this dear lady." And this was the plan that he concocted. He said, "You know, my dear, how different servants in the country are from the city. At my home, I had this faithful maid. When I was ill, she watched over me through many long nights. Had she not cared so faithful for me, you would have never known me. We have a room in the attic that is not in use. And if you would agree, I would love to have Mary come live with us." With joy, the young wife agreed, and the man sat to write his mother and other news, and he begged her to come, but he said this one clause. He says, "Don't tell anyone that you're my mother." Now, in our heart of hearts, in our mind, we probably think that she should have taken the letter, wadded it up, and thrown it in the rubbish bin, have nothing to do with him. But guys, this is his mother. This is his mother that he wasn't able to see. Wasn't able to see her son for a long time. And so she agreed. And she came to the house, a little plain woman by the name of Mary. The doctor introduced her to his wife by saying, "This is faithful Mary." And from that moment forward, this young lady, this widow, lived in the room in an attic. Listen, when the young bride would go visit her friends, and the doctor would sneak upstairs, and he would talk with his mother, they would talk about the childhood, and hours would go by with great joy that he would spend with his mom. Yet no one else noticed her presence in the house. This dear old mother remained hidden away in a single room. Only once upon her arrival would she see the other beautiful rooms in this grand home. She lived in the house, guys, but only in the attic. Let me ask you a question here this morning. We're talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. We're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We're talking about the answer to your faith today being found in your relationship and the presence of His power through the Holy Spirit of God that you received on the day that you got saved. How many of us invited the Holy Spirit in on that day we were saved? But today He only dwells in a room in the attic somewhere in our body. Does He have free course, guys? Can I say this to you this morning, that we were empowered by His reception. We must be engaged through our resignation of control. And it's only then, beloved, when that presence is fully given and granted by the Holy Spirit, it's only then when we grant Him prevalence in our life. I mean, by all means, the Holy Spirit should have preeminence in our life, which means superiority, which means greatness, which means excellence, which means distinction. Preeminence. But prevalence is something of a different nature. Prevalence is defined as the fact or condition of being prevalent. You could give preeminence to the Holy Spirit, but to make Him prevalent in your life means free reign. To make Him prevalent in your life, it means commonness. You know, it may sound strange, but it's quite possible to just give the Holy Spirit preeminence, but not make Him prevalent. See, when the Holy Spirit has prevalence in your life, you know what that means? That means it's something of common nature to depend on Him, to render yourself to His power, to render yourself to His presence when He has prevalence in your life. People notice something different about you. There's something, you know, just different. There's something that just kind of stands out in your life because you've rendered full control to the Holy Spirit. Look at verses 14 and 15 of our chapter here. It goes on to say, He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Beloved, can I ask you this? Do we open up our homes today and give Him a room in an attic, or do we give Him free reign in our life? Beloved, do we just visit the Holy Spirit of God in times of need and when troubles and problems are going on in our life, when things aren't hitting on all cylinders, when we have marital issues, when we have friendship issues or financial problems? Is that when we go up to that attic and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to take control today? Well, that's not going to be the answer to your faith this morning. The answer to your faith and being an influence on those in your life, and that Holy Spirit being an influence unto you, it's going to be the power that was given to Christ. It's going to be the presence in your life fully, but it's going to be the prevalence in the walk that you have every day. So ask yourself this question today. Is visiting the Holy Spirit of God in only times of need, would you consider that a relationship today? Beloved, our faith is based upon a relationship. Our faith is based upon the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Our influence upon other people's life is the answer to their faith, beloved, through our power of influence by allowing the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in our life and to make it prevalent in our everyday existence. It's not something for just Sunday. It's not something for just Monday, but 7 days a week. Man, we speak a revival coming back through this valley. We speak a revival coming back through this community. For that matter, we speak a revival coming back through our own lives. A revival will never, never occur until the Holy Spirit God has prevalence in your life today. It's dependent upon our relationship based upon the Holy Ghost. The power that was given unto the Lord was power that was sent forth by the Comforter to empower us by fulfilling His purpose on this earth. And in order for revival to occur, in order for revival to be effective, we must have His presence, but we also must give Him prevalence. So how effective are we today? Are we affecting our community? Are we seeing souls saved? Are we seeing lives changed at the office, at the work site, in our neighborhood? As that story would go on that I told you moments ago, the young bride would eventually notice that her husband began to be depressed, and his demeanor in the home was that of discouragement, it seemed. And she eventually discovered his secret, and she asked him, she said, how could you think me to be so small? And hand in hand, they too would run to the attic, and the young bride would fall down before this widow's feet and put her face upon her face and her hand upon her hand, and she would call her mother. They knelt down and asked her forgiveness, and then they led her victoriously down the stairs and had given her the brightest and prettiest room of all in the house. And beloved, it was from that moment forward that joy returned to that home. It was from that moment when they brought her out of the attic and gave her the best of all rooms and the brightest rooms and all that. When that happened, joy returned to the home. You see, at the first, the mother dwelt only in a room, stowed away in the attic, just as luggage. But later on, she was given full possession. Later on, she was given full reign. And later on, she was given commonness, if you will, inside the home. And the byproduct of such a possession was joy in the home. Fruit, one may say. And beloved, the fruit of the Spirit, and I've talked about this too, probably too often, fruit of the Spirit is always meant to be for the benefit of others. It is a product of a life that is connected to the power source of its provider, and that's our Holy Spirit. So in closing this morning, I ask you these questions. Have you asked the Holy Spirit of God to come down from the attic that He may be sitting? Have you asked the Holy Spirit of God to come down and assume full possession of the entire house? Have you given the Holy Spirit of God a hearty welcome at your conversion when he came in? Did you allow him to make your body, that temple, his home? Did he come in with sweet tenderness and as a gracious, willing guest? How did you treat him? Did you give him royal welcome? Was he made to feel at home? Did you bid him to make himself at home in all rooms of your body? Did you render body, soul, spirit, and mind under his influence, under his control? Or did you simply put him in an attic, only to visit him when you had times of need? Beloved, I'm here to say this, and I'm done. We're empowered today because we're saved. When you make Christ your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God moved in. No matter how young, no matter how old, no matter how in between, that's where he did. He moved in. But it's your choice from that moment forward to allow that empowerment to be engaged and effective in our influence upon those in the world. But it's got to start with us first. The mindset of influence in the Christian life always begins with us, whether it's the relationship with the Father, the relationship with the Son, or the relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. It always begins with us. So do you want revival in your life today? Do you want relationships with those that are around you to see who and what you really are, a saved, born-again believer in Christ? Do you want to make those changes today? D.L. Moody, when he was just starting his ministry, he heard a preacher make this statement. He said, he heard this statement, and it said, "The world has yet to see what God can do with one man fully surrendered to him." That night, Moody said this, "By God's grace, I'll be that man." So, beloved, I'm going to ask you this question here in closing. Would you invite that Holy Spirit of God from the attic today and give him full possession of your life this morning? Is there anything more important in your life today that would keep you from saying, "Holy Spirit, this is my life. It's yours. Take it. Lead me. Guide me wherever you'd have me to go and however you'd have me be." Is there anything more important today that would keep you from fully surrendering and being filled with the power source from on high? Give him the presence in your life, but make him prevalent on a daily basis. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Before we close in prayer, we're here today with every head bowed, every eyes closed. And I ask you that question, already. What is in your life this morning that is more important for you to render your body, soul, mind, and spirit, all that you have, all your strength, all your understanding? What's in your life today that is more important than you making the Holy Spirit of God prevalent every single day? Take this opportunity, if you will, now and ask the Lord. Surrender your life today. You say, "Preacher, I'm here. I'm saved. I'm born again. I know that I'm going to heaven," and that's a blessing. But what about between now and that moment you go to heaven? Make the Holy Spirit prevalent in your life. The answer to your faith today, and the answer to the majority of our issues and our problems and even our predicaments in this life today, is allowing the Holy Spirit of God prevalence in our life, taking on him on board, the presence of him within us, and utilizing the power that's already there. It's not the lack of power. You just got to connect to it by his presence. And once his presence is there, you got to make him prevalent. And that's the answer this morning. That's the answer this morning to our faith in the Christian mindset of influence. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Allow yourself to be fully surrendered, rendering over to him under his influence in your life so that you may be an influence unto others. You pray this morning, ask the Lord to move upon your heart today. Whatever may be there, whatever may be hindering you, whatever may be keeping you from fully surrendering your life over to Christ this morning, examine that today and put it to the side so that he may have free reign in your life. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. We ask you, Father, to touch every soul that is present here today. And however much time is needed in prayer this morning, I pray that your people, dear Lord, would take advantage of that. I ask of you, Lord, to move in a mighty way in our lives. And I pray now that you please would continue to lead, God, and direct in every aspect of our day. But Father, I ask of you, as we are looking to fully surrender and be fully committed, the Holy Spirit would have that free reign in our life, that he would be prevalent in our days, that people would notice a marked difference in us, that fruit would be seen, that not only will we allow the Holy Spirit influence in our life to be under his control, but Father, you would enable us to be an influence into the lives of others, that we may see souls saved, lives changed, families put back together. Lord, the changing of the guard, if you will, in the hearts and the souls of men, women, and children. Father, bless us now, we ask, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Do hope and pray God was good to you today in the preaching and teaching of his word. Amen and amen. Brother Preston, if you'll come this morning. And guys, as we sing this closing hymn, Jesus, I Come, I ask you today to think about what prayer you may have said during this period of time. And guys, the Lord always has free reign. We're not on a time schedule here. If you need time to pray and you need time to deal with the Lord